future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have an action-packed show in store for you today, as always, with the new format. For regular listeners, welcome back to the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. It means a lot to us all here at SVK Crypto. And if you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you here. And if you enjoyed today's show, remember, as always, to leave us a nice comment. With that in mind, today's show is going to be focused around a few different dApps and projects they're looking to build out onto EOS. And ones that already have. So we're going to kind of put a spotlight on them, if you like. We're going to go over some of the strengths that the projects have, maybe some of the questions, and really kind of give our notes and our view on those projects as well. We're going to be covering three different projects today, so it's going to be really, really exciting. We're super pumped to be sharing that information with you as well. So here's what's been going down the last 24 hours for us here at SVK Crypto. From the calls that we are having and talking to other venture capital firms, we're seeing more and more capital ready to be deployed into early stage projects. We're seeing more and more projects coming to the table as well, which is extremely positive. And that's something that is extremely positive. A lot of people, a lot of firms out there see the potential in blockchain, and definitely see the potential in EOS.io as a protocol to potentially build future dApps upon. So we're seeing a lot of attention, not only on the general blockchain space, but also on EOS as a focus for now. I know there's some really, really exciting things that are going to be happening this year that we will be covering. I can't announce them just yet, sadly, but I know they're coming out. And I know it's going to be a really, really exciting year for the EOS community. And there's lots of great announcements, lots of great projects that are going to be using the EOS.io protocol as well. So that's been happening. That's what we're currently seeing here at SVK Crypto from the London office. With regards to the last 24 hours in the crypto market, we've seen a 15% correction to the downside. This has been really interesting. So one of the points I want to bring up is, if you look at Ethereum price, it's nearly doubled from $85 to $160 in the last 2 weeks. And that was in anticipation of the hard fork that has been set to be executed between January 14th to 18th. However, what we've been seeing today is a lot of selling pressure, hence why we've seen the market come down 15% overall. Obviously, it's nice when we start seeing a lot of buying pressure, we start seeing prices rise, we start seeing price action to the upside. But, you know, we're still in crypto winter, we're still in a bear market. Absolutely. So this is the dark days of winter, and those who stay in the game, those who stay focused, know why they hold what they do, will be the winners. I think there's a lot of, well, with the retail market, we have high highs and low lows, right? And I think a lot of people, I think the market's close to being washed out with a lot of that capital. It'll be interesting to see what the new set of cards, the new capital coming in is going to be more strategic. I don't think it's going to be as loose. So it's going to be really interesting to see when the market does recover, how fast it recovers as well. I mean, you know, 2017, 2018, it was extremely quick. I don't know if it's going to be as quick, but it's going to be extremely interesting to watch and see who's going to be participating as well. So with that in mind, let's get on to the show. Let's get down to business and let's talk about three different projects that are either using EOS or looking to utilize the EOS.io protocol. So with that in mind, let's get on to the show. So just a quick disclosure, this is not financial or trading advice. This is just our own in-house view here at SVK Crypto. So with that in mind, we're going to kick things off. And the project we're going to be talking about is Practical VR. So in the short form, Practical VR is an augmented reality platform that allows people to scan 3D environments and interact in those virtual worlds, enabling them to build things with a persistent memory of what those things were built. So you can build custom items as well, which is pretty cool. The software understands ceilings, floors, and has full localization technology. It's gateway operational through your head-mounted devices, HMD. Like, you're really building and restructuring 3D worlds, but you can do anything within that, which is really, really cool. So when you scan a world, you receive tokens. Those tokens will have value because when the firm is operational, companies will need to buy the maps, and the only way to buy the maps is via the tokens. The company recognized that 2D maps were revolutionary. But Practical VR believe 3D maps will be even more so. Really, really interesting project. The best place to check out the website is www.practicalvronword.com. Super, super interesting. So let's get down into the nitty gritty and get down to business. So mobile support coming in mid-December, which provides any user with an Apple iPhone the ability to generate 3D mapping data. This will scale the mapping operations significantly, which is important because the major use case for this type of project is the ability for corporations to use the 3D map data for their applications, which they will pay Practical VR to access. Thus, the service that has the largest amount of 3D data will likely receive the most amount of interest for their maps. So another great point of these guys, Practical VR doesn't use GPS technology because it is too imprecise. Instead, the localization technology is precise enough to know which side of a door a person is on. That's amazing. And to add on to this, it's only a team of two at this current point in time, which is super impressive. The token that will be used within the ecosystem will be built upon EOS, which is really exciting and a big win for the entire EOS ecosystem. We're looking forward to hearing more from this company. So, by the way, you can check them out. So give them some love. Check out the website. And if you have a VR headset, you can check out their demo or their beta, which is currently available online at their website, which is practicalvr.com. Check that out. Give them some love. As I mentioned before, the team consists of two individuals, James Michael Reed, who is the CEO. Prior to that, he worked at AT&T, and you have Vulcan Seaman, who was the chief technology officer from Sakaira University. One of the concerns that I think anyone would address would be the fact that, you know, will corporations likely be buying their token to buy mapping data? And at this current point in time, probably not, right? But what you have to remember is that we're looking at it in a 5 to 10 year view. So do we believe the industry is going to have general adoption? Absolutely. But the question is, will they be able to, you know, get revenues in before that time and have adoption within the developer ecosystem and build their own community up to be able to utilize this application in the short term? I mean, that's a really good question. And, you know, we have to wait and see for that one. Up next, we have a project called Flexer. For this, I'm going to bring in Oliver Mayer, our in-house blockchain analyst. Oliver.
Hey, Charles.
Come on, man. Let's talk about Flexer. You ready?
Yeah, let's talk about Flexer.
Great, okay. Dude. So can you give us a high-level overview? What is Flexer?
So Flexer is a payment network. It is very similar to a Visa or a MasterCard network. It's the way that you can transact at a point of sale, be it online or at a retail store. But Flexer's goal is to make payments via crypto possible.
So how do they do that?
Right, so... What Flexer realizes is that retail and merchants do not want to accept crypto. They don't want to deal with it in any way, shape, or form, right? So when you transfer, first of all, you have the Flexer app. You transfer cryptocurrencies into the app, and when you go to the point of sale, you scan the barcode. There's a one-time barcode that comes up for that particular transaction. You scan it at the point of sale, and the payment is taken instantly. But in the background, actually what's happening is that the payment in fiat is being sent instantly to the merchant and the retailer. So they're getting fiat straight away. And then the crypto is being sold pretty much instantaneously, and that's going to be sent to Flexer to replenish their fiat.
Right. And I know they're working with some exciting partners at the minute. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So the guys behind Flexer, the team over there that we know really well, including Tyler, they're very experienced in the payment space, and they have like a deep Rolodex of connections. So before they've even launched live, they've already got Starbucks, They've got H&M, they've got Dunkin' Donuts. In the UK, they've got Tesco's, and they've got tens and tens more of some of the biggest merchants in the world who are really interested in using their platform.
And we have first-hand experience as well, right, with using Flexa in Starbucks. You were gifted some credit on your Flexa app. I mean, it was crazy because you didn't even have a card. There wasn't any plastic involved. It was an app that you downloaded and you scanned it at the Starbucks machine that went through. We're actually going to link the video for that in the description below, so check it out after the podcast. But how does that work? Can you talk us through that itself? You have an app. How is that app accepted now by Starbucks?
Yeah, so most of the most point of sale devices have a built-in sort of scanner for barcodes, right? Of course they do. A lot of how things are scanned are through that barcode scanner. And so what Flex wanted to do is make this technology easily accessible and without much change at all on the merchant side. So since everyone have these scanners, Flex have created these barcodes that are one-time use. And what happens, you pull out the barcode and the barcode's scanned at the point of sale and the payment's taken straight away just through that traditional mechanism. So in a lot of countries, you don't have NFC or you don't have contactless payments. So they're just trying to, on their initial rollout, support everywhere.
Right. So what are the benefits to using Flexa rather than traditional payment methods that are embedded into our everyday lives?
Yeah, so obviously right now, everywhere accepts Visa and MasterCard and they're denominated in fiat. So, Flex is not going to replace those incumbent networks anytime soon. But the way that they've structured themselves is that there is, in a traditional payment network, there's tons of intermediaries. There's maybe 9 or 10 different intermediaries that go into creating a transaction from point of sale to the merchant bank receiving the funds. What Flexa have done is they've disintermediated the whole process. So really, when you pay at the point of sale, Flexa send the money straight to the merchant's bank rather than going through all these intermediaries, and your crypto gets exchanged and put into fiat and sent to Flexa straight away. So because they've disintermediated that process, the fee structure that the merchants have to pay is significantly less, and they have a lot of room to go lower as well. And this is hugely important. This is probably the biggest conversation that retailers have on a weekly basis, is how can they reduce their fees to payment providers. And in fact, in the US, there was a conglomerate of companies that tried to solve this issue, but what they didn't do, they weren't successful in solving it because they didn't focus on the users.
Right.
And they focused on how can they reduce their costs for themselves, but they didn't focus on how can they make it easy for users to get involved.
Okay, so not only is it cheaper, but it's also easier to use as a consumer when purchasing things. And the fact that they already have a relationship with Starbucks and the other partnerships you mentioned, is a huge advantage, because you can have this technology, but if no one's going to use it and no one's going to integrate this technology into their current system, it really has not a lot of value. Like, that's the hardest part, right? Like, that's the biggest challenge. That's the biggest on-ramp to being successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that what's amazing about the types of companies that they've onboarded onto their app is that in order for you to actually be on the Flex app, there's a requirement to have set up a banking relationship there and set up a sort of a direct relationship. So Starbucks have gone through the effort of setting up a direct relationship with a crypto payment provider, which is a huge kind of indication of where they think the space could go in the future. I would say that in terms of actually crypto being used for payments, I don't think we're too close to that right now. I think that's a long way off.
So you're kind of talking about some drawbacks, which is kind of the next point. Do you think that's one of the major drawbacks that they have? Mm. Are there any others that have kind of you're thinking about or that are kind of a concern to you?
I think that's the main drawback. I think Flexa are also going to move into the online payments world, and they're going to do some really amazing things that I've seen, and I'm sure that they're going to share with you guys in the future. But my main concern is the adoption of crypto for payments, because ultimately we see most people using cryptos for, you know, to hold them for investment purposes. It's not something I see anyone using their crypto for everyday payments, because people aren't getting paid in crypto. It just doesn't make sense right now. And maybe in the future, it will make sense when you have stable tokens and things like that, because that just makes the whole system work a lot better, and there's a lot less friction there. I really don't see a huge advantage to paying in crypto over fiat right now.
Yeah, no, especially at the current market levels. I mean,
right. I mean, everyone just wants to hold right now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, that's one of the issues as well with the market at the minute. No one wants to utilize their EOS tokens and actually use them on the network. I mean, some people do, but a lot of people, they're kind of dormant in an account hoping they would appreciate in value, which I completely understand based on yesterday's show. Just on Flexor as well, they just announced a partnership with H&M. Like, that's cool. That's big. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting on a lot of crypto and you're trying to spend it without going through kind of traditional exchanges, super quick, super easy. I mean, just making your life easier to use crypto in everyday life. Do you want to speak a little bit about the team?
Yes, absolutely. So the CEO, Tyler, has had three successful exits previously, and he's been in the payment space for a long time. So this is really the reason why he's been able to get the traction that he's got from the merchants that are like really the kind of the top 50 merchants. His goal is to incorporate the like sort of the 50% of all retail transactions. He wants to get all of the players that support 50% of, you know, retail transactions in the US. I mean, they're predominantly based in the US in New York, but they see the UK as a huge market. So the team are really experienced in this sector, and that's why they've been able to bootstrap this so quickly and bring this to market. And I think they're actually launching their full product within the next month or two. So,
and you can check them out at flexa.co. So www.flexa.co. And who are some of the investors? They've had some pretty impressive people kind of onboarded so far.
Yeah, so I think probably the most impressive investor that they have is Pantera. And Joey Krug he mentioned this in his crypto thesis that he wrote recently, that he sees payments in crypto being definitely an area that's going to get revolutionized, but he sees that, like I said, further down the line. But you know, he's saying that he's investing into this project because he believes that fundamentally it's strong and the team's very strong, and when those issues resolve and when crypto becomes more ubiquitously used as a payment, then the strong companies like Flexa will do very well.
Right. And for anyone that isn't aware of Joey Krug, he's the CIO over at Pantera, which is a fund focusing on digital assets. And he's also the co-founder of that as well. So listen, dude, man, I think the people are now sold on Flexa. Can you download the app? Is that possible?
Not yet.
That's coming.
It will be available on iOS store. Soon. 1 to 2 months is what I've been told.
So just before we wrap up on Flexa, I think we spoke about it enough. How are they utilizing the EOS protocol?
So when the app launches in 1 to 2 months, EOS is going to be one of the few currencies that they support straight out the gates. And on top of that, they've really been in discussions with a lot of the wallet providers on the EOS blockchain and trying to figure out a way how they can enable, I think EOS Lynx is a big one they're talking to as well, how they can enable payments from within the EOS Lynx app. So rather than having to transfer your tokens to the Flexa app, the Flexa technology is embedded into each EOS wallet so that you can spend your tokens straight from that application.
Great. And the best way to keep updated with those guys is go onto the website, join their Telegram group, join their community. And as I said, we'll link a video of myself and Oliver going and utilizing their app, or the beta app anyway, and buying some coffee with it. And we bought some other people some coffee as well. Yeah. Coffee for everyone.
That's it.
Thanks for coming in, man, and sharing your initial insights and thoughts.
No worries.
All right. So up next, we're going to be talking about good money. Recently, Galaxy Digital recently led the $30 million funding round for Good Money, which is a really interesting project, which we're going to get to in a second. In that round, we also had Brea Capital, Block Tower Capital, Boost VC, Blockchain Ventures, along with some other industry-leading names. So it was super impressive. I know it caught a lot of attention within the EOS community because they're going to be using EOS itself. So let's get down to business. So Good Money, in short, is a banking platform owned by the people in service of the planet, providing best-in-class mobile banking while empowering citizens to be part of a more equitable and transparent world. So here are some of the key takeaways that we saw. So the team has an amazing proven track record to deliver with multiple successes. Gunnar Lovelace, the founder of the company, with his super successful business, which was called Thrive Markets, and Nick Sullivan, founder of ChangeTip, acquired by Airbnb, and first employee at Crux and DMP platform, acquired by Salesforce, right? So these are the guys running the operation. Really impressive backgrounds with both of their companies being acquired. So that's great to see as well. When you have a proven business that's then acquired and you go on to something else, you bring credibility to the table that you can deliver and you are an operator, right? And that they have that, which is great to see. So mobile first online only banking is a trend that will continue to grow in popularity. And these guys really have that nailed. So Gunnar Lovelace, using the Thrive Markets business model, new consumers will be given ownership in Good Money just for downloading the app and creating the account. So just to kind of confirm with you guys, if you download the app and create an account, you'll own a percentage of Good Money. I mean, that's an amazing idea within itself. So new actions the customer performs will lead to more good shares being distributed and thus higher ownership. Ownership creates more loyalty and, more importantly, increases the adoption of future products and services because your interests are aligned and you have a stake in it. Like, that's huge. And for what? Just doing what you would normally do with a bank, another bank out there who are giving you nothing. So that's really big and that's really revolutionary within itself. So Good Money are proposing to spend a lot of money they raise on marketing. The approach they are taking is similar to that of Red Bull in the sense of trying to connect with millennials through as many channels as possible. They want to be seen as a lifestyle brand. And the truth is, when you have a great product, you need as many people to know about it as possible. And Good Money is really positioned well for that, which is going to be really exciting for not only Good Money themselves, but the EOS ecosystem as a whole. So just before wrapping up, we have a big event happening this month, which a lot of energy and time has been put into. The event title is Blockchain in 2019, What You Need to Know. If you haven't already been to one of our events here in London Town, let me bring you up to speed with the format and how it goes down. We always have a packed house. We bring down everyone in the community. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is invited. We want everyone to be part of the event. It's going to be educational, entertaining, and it's also going to be a great ability for you to connect with a lot of the members in the London community. It's a great networking opportunity. And that's something we want to help with. If you come to the event, you make yourself known. You ask one of myself or anyone else wearing the SVK crypto t-shirt. We would love to help out in any connections we can make for you. So bear that in mind. The best place to go for any information regarding the event and any updates is our Telegram. The speakers for that, the ones we've announced so far, is going to be Shane Kehoe, the co-founder of SVK Crypto, myself, Charles Story, Oliver Mayer, our blockchain analyst, and we might throw a few curveballs in there, maybe some surprise speakers, who knows. Anyway, it's going to be a great event that's taking place on the 29th of January. It's going to kick off at 6 p.m. in the evening, and it's going to be held at WeWork Bishopsgate. You got to be there. That's the place to be on the 29th of January. And I think, actually, looking at Eventbrite and Meetup, there's not many events happening in January so far. So if you're itching to get out to an event, if you're itching to learn more, ask any questions relating to blockchain, meet the London community, this is the place to be. All information's in the Telegram group, or email myself if you don't have Telegram, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y at svkcrypto.com. All right, well, listen, thank you for your time and attention as always. We appreciate that. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave a nice comment in the comments section and let us know your thoughts on the podcast. If you haven't already, join our Telegram, SVK Crowd. Email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.